Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Word of God for our next devotion on the seven churches of Asia Minor in Revelation. It's recorded in Revelation chapter 2, reading beginning at verse 18. To the angel of the church in Thyatira write, "These are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like blazing fire, and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your deeds, your love and faith, your service and perseverance, and that you are now doing more than you did at first. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and to eating of food sacrificed to idols. I have given her time to repent of her immorality, but she is unwilling. So I will cast her on a bed of suffering, and I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely unless they repent of her ways. I will strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am he who searches hearts and minds, and I will repay each of you according to your deeds. Now I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, to you who do not hold to her teaching and have not learned Satan's so-called deep secrets, I will not impose any other burden on you. Only hold on to what you have until I come. To him who overcomes and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He will dash them to pieces like pottery, just as I have received authority from my Father. I will also give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." This is God's Word. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, your fellow redeemed, last week I checked the list of the top 100 girls' names that parents gave their new baby daughters. There were not as many biblical names toward the top as there used to be, and we might even expect to find. But in the top 100, the names Hannah, Grace, and Sarah do appear, along with some others. One name I did not see in the top 100 was Jezebel. People who don't even know anything about Ahab's wife have come to associate that name Jezebel with less than glowing qualities and characteristics. That was also true in the church among the believers in the city of Thyatira. This letter follows the same pattern that most of the other ones do. The risen Christ commended them for their good deeds, their Christian love and faith, their growth. But then he also had a criticism of them. And that criticism was that they were continuing to allow the pursuit of fleshly sins. Thyatira was a city about 20 miles northeast of Pergamum, our last city. Maybe just to review a little bit, remember we talked about Ephesus, and then Smyrna, and then Pergamum, and now Thyatira. Well, to put that in your mind, think of Carmel, Lafayette, Merrillville, and then Thyatira would be about where Michigan City is. That's how those cities so far fit together geographically. Jesus identifies himself in this letter. The only place he does this with this name is he calls himself the Son of God. And then he lists two of his attributes or qualities using picture language. He says that he has eyes of blazing fire. That's really the Son of God's omniscience, that he sees and knows everything. And he defines and describes that his feet are like burnished bronze. And that generally signifies that he is almighty, that he is omnipotent, that in his power he can crush all of his enemies. The all-knowing and all-powerful God first commended the church at Thyatira. I know your deeds, your love and faith, your service and perseverance, and that you are now doing more than you did at first. Think of these believers as trees. They were not stunted. They were still growing. And the fruits that they were bearing were increasing in kind and in amount. The God who sees hearts and minds said, I know your deeds. I know your good works that you are doing as Christians. I see that you're even more than you did at first, combining love and faith. James said that's true faith, isn't it? Faith without love is not real faith. Faith without good deeds is dead. So Jesus said your faith and your love are genuine. I see that you're growing in your service, literally in your ministry to one another. You're growing in your perseverance in the faith. For my sake. I see that your trees of faith continue to grow and are producing more fruits now than they did at first when you first became my children. The Holy Spirit had been working there in the city of Thyatira, and his work was bearing fruits. It was not in vain. The people in Thyatira were doing what Paul exhorted the Thessalonians to do in his first letter. Brothers, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are now living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. What about us? How are we doing as God's trees? Are we stunted? Are our fruits becoming a little more wormy? Are they becoming fewer and fewer as years go by? Or are we growing? Are we continuing in good works to manifest our faith in Christ? Are we combining love with our faith even more now than we used to? Even more now than when we came to faith? Do we consider that serving God and ministering to one another and persevering in our faith in Christ is something worth continuing? Something worth nourishing so that it might grow even more and more and bear more fruits and better fruits to God? At times, don't we all have to admit that the temptations come into our lives as Christians to grow weary, to grow frustrated, to become negative, to get a little bit tired of doing good works, of really not exerting the spiritual energy that it takes to combine the faith that we confess with love that we are to show one another. It can become a big temptation in our life to become satisfied with our ministries, to be satisfied with our service to one another, and think, well, it's always been a certain way, so it doesn't really need to improve. We don't need to really grow in our faith. Now, our sinful nature, our old Adam, needs to remember that God is looking at us with those eyes of blazing fire. He sees our hearts and He knows our hearts, and that is a curb for our sinful nature. It's a mirror that reminds us of our sin. And yet, at the same time as Christians, we enjoy and we seek out the commendation of our Lord as we give Him the opportunity to watch us grow, to watch us mature, to watch us be interested in that Word of God, particularly the good news of our forgiveness and salvation, that keeps our deeds good, that keeps our love and our faith connected, that keeps us active in our ministry and in our perseverance, so that He sees that each and every day in our lives we are doing more than we did at first to His glory. But all was not well in the church at Thyatira. Jesus said, "I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess." Apparently, there was a woman in the congregation there who considered herself a preacher of God's Word. And yet, what she was preaching was not God's Word, but idolatry. Idolatry that is often connected to sexual immorality. Jezebel was the wife of King Ahab in the northern kingdom of Israel about 900 years before Jesus was born. And Jezebel introduced Baal worship into the northern kingdom. She, we might say, wedded worship and faith in the true God with worship of Baal, the false gods, which included offering food to them and participating in the ritualistic sexual immorality that was part of that worship. And she, this woman, was following what Jezebel was doing. And thus, Jesus calls her by that name. We don't really know if that was her name or Jesus was just using that name as an indication of her following that idolatry and sexual immorality of Jezebel. I use the word wedded on purpose, because the Bible often compares idolatry with adultery. You and I, in our faith, are the bride of Christ. He is our heavenly bridegroom. And through faith, we are wedded to Him. He cleansed us. He purified us with His blood that He shed on the cross so that we would be worthy and fitting to be His bride. And He has called us into that marriage. Idolatry is being wedded to false gods, to idols, and to offering things to them, sinful things. And so if I wed myself to an idol, and idol worship, then I am guilty of spiritual adultery. Then I have sinned against my bridegroom, Christ. And this is what was going on in Thyatira. This Jezebel was not only trying to wed worship of the true God with idolatry and its practices, but because they weren't getting her out of there, they were bearing the result of that, and that is that she was leading more and more people into this sin. More and more people were following her. They tolerated that, and they were suffering the consequences. And so Jesus told John, to the angel, to the pastor of the church in Thyatira, write, and then he said, I have this against you. And he said, you know, I've tried to call her to repentance, but she would not listen. So now I'm going to cast her on a bed of suffering, going to kill her children, and she's going to suffer greatly as a result of this sin, and so will people who follow her and do not repent. Jesus teaches us two important lessons here. First, what a man reaps, he sows. Or what a man sows, rather, he reaps. There are certain kinds of sins that when you get involved in them and you commit them, like sexual immorality, very often there is some suffering or some judgment that God allows or sends into your life as a result of that sin. Not as a punishment for that sin, but as a chastening reminder of what can happen and often does happen when you turn away from the Lord. And the other lesson is that if a Christian does not take the opportunity to repent that God gives to us, that the Lord presents, that the Lord will finally bring the judgment of eternal death. The Lord will, in the end, repay us according to our deeds. As Lutherans, how do we understand that? We understand that our deeds are the visible evidence of what's in our heart. When my heart is filled with faith in Christ, then my deeds, though not perfect, strive daily to obey and serve the will of my God. If my heart is filled with unbelief, then my deeds show that in a life of wickedness and rebellion against my God and His will. In His love, God had called Jezebel to repentance, and she had not listened. And now He was going to continue to chasten her and those who followed her in the hope that she would repent. And again, this serves as a warning to our sinful natures. But then there is also that promise that if they would repent, and for all who did not participate in her sin, and there were those in the congregation who did not participate in her sin, God gave that promise that if they would overcome and not participate in these, I will give authority over the nations. I will give him the morning star. When God ultimately places all his enemies under his feet of bronze, of his power, we will join him in that as we overcome rebellion against his will. We will rule with Christ in heaven over all our enemies. And we will receive from him the morning star. The morning star announces the soon coming of dawn. Jesus Christ is the morning star that the Father has raised up so that we can see and recognize the dawn of our salvation, the dawn of God's saving grace in Christ Jesus. We have ears. Let us hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Hear to the church in Thyatira. By the power of Christ, continue to grow in good deeds through Christ. And may we never in our hearts or in our church harbor those things that want to lure us into spiritual adultery. Amen.